going to order a repeater to try to increase our power. So hopefully we'll won't have a problem with it.
We'll see.
Thank God for everybody, Dana. Thank God for being here. It's kind of warm. Praise his holy name. I'm going to go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, 5th chapter, one of them. Start off with, and then let's see what we go from there. I was thinking about today. I want to look in. You know, the first thing I want to do is I'm going to look in Matthew today, talking about Jesus. But one of the first things I wanted to look at was. I want to look at Luke, the 4th chapter, just to remind us again. For everyone who's in Christ. Good morning, Edward. It's good to see you. I think that's you behind the mask. If it is, nod your head. Can you hear me, Alexandra? I don't know if you can hear me or not. Tangela, can you hear me? If you can hear me, nod your head. Okay. Elma Jenkins, can you hear me? That's why I needed somebody else's help other than me.
Sean is probably up in the back, I'll check.
No, she's not.
Oh.
This is why I come early in the morning. I need help. Can you hear me? India says she can hear me. Ellen Rogers, can you hear me? Ellen Jenkins, can you hear me? If you can hear me, wave your hand. Nobody's waving. India, can you hear me? This is going on. According to this, this should be good now. Are any of you able to hear me? Ella Rogers, you can hear me? India, can you hear me? If you can hear me, I need you to nod and do something or not nod. Oh, I keep getting a hand from India. Okay. So I assume that you can hear me. Let me look in Luke chapter 4 today as a reminder to everybody. And kind of going in and out. And internet's kind of unstable. And is the temperature low enough in the room back there?
I left the door open. It's kind of warm. I left the door open for it. Sean has the dining hall one open, so.
Okay. All right. Was it warm in there?
A little.
All right. Okay, let's see. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. If you're able to go there with me, everybody looks like they're frozen up, so I'm not sure whether everybody's hearing me or whether we're getting out of the house. So, we're getting a nod from India, and that's about it. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And this is kind of a reminder of what Jesus is what we get from him and what we need to tell people about. And Jesus tells the people, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And when we're witnessing and talking to people, we need to keep that in mind. Now, what I want to do is, I'm going to stop for a moment. I'm going to end this and I'm going to crank it back up again. Let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter, and it's gone again. I definitely will order three pieces this week. Okay, we're still trying to see if we can get this going today, and we're having a really hard time with it, so I don't know. Hopefully you're hearing me. We're going to look at Luke, the fourth chapter today, and as just a reminder, which is not the scripture that I want to go to, but I just like to always remind everybody of when we're witnessing and talking to people, and we ourselves remind ourselves, the answer to all of our woes and issues and things is in Christ, because in Luke 18, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." In other words, this is what the Holy Spirit does when he in the earth. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It keeps going in and out, so I'll just have to keep going. The Holy Spirit is here to encourage and to comfort, to build up. And what else?
Comfort, edifying, and so
to build up comfort and encourage. Jesus, when he comes, says the Spirit is upon him to do these things, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel to the poor. It sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty the that are bruised. And another place in Isaiah, when it says that, it says, preach deliverance. Preach deliverance to the
captives.
These are the reasons why we always need Christ and why we have Christ. Now this morning I'm trying to get to this lesson, but my internet is really messing up. So if it goes out again, you just have to hang in with me, and we'll keep going, because it's just doing all kinds of things. It's unmuting and it's doing whatever it feels like doing today. I guess the devil's just in it. But actually it's just technology, and since he's the one who does technology, I guess that's him. I want to go to Matthew chapter 6, or chapter 5, I think it is. Go to Matthew chapter 5. And I think we're probably frozen again because everything's sitting still, so we're probably not getting out anymore. Signals really have a difficult time today. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set up on a hill cannot be hid." Now what I need is for Elder Reed. Do you have your iPad with you?
No, I don't.
Can't bring up mine because mine's on the same as this. Alright, let me press on. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that sitteth on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle or put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven." I want to look at St. John the 8th chapter. John chapter 8. And John chapter 8, verse 12. And I think by now I'm probably just talking to you in here, because I don't think anything's going out. It says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And we know in John 8 chapter, he talks to them after he has forgiven the lady who's caught in adultery. And then I want to look also in, I have the scripture also. It's in in Isaiah, which is chapter 9. And it's verses 2 through 7. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of shadows of death, upon them hath a light shined. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, a light shined. I want to look at this in probably a New Living text or one of those texts, and it says in that, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And those who live in the land of deep darkness, the light will shine. When we talk about Christ being the light, we talk about him bringing us out of darkness. When God saved us, he brought us out of darkness. Brought us out of the things that we were in, and the light, the light that we're referring to refers to the light of knowing who God is and what God does. The reason why we need to know this is because when the Lord saved us, we can say until the Holy Ghost came, we might have been aware of a lot of things we were doing wrong, but we weren't aware of them from the point of view of how God felt about them.
Yes.
And how God really saw them. We're going to have to do them. We're going to do a video today because I keep bouncing in and out. We weren't aware of how God saw them. So, when Jesus came into the earth, during that time, you had the temple and you had the people in the temple, and they were, and now I'm muted and everybody else is not. You had the people in the temple, and they were having a worship of God, but they were not being used by the Spirit. They were not giving light. They were walking under the law. There's no light in the law. It's just don't do this or the penalty of death. I'm going to have to make a decision of whether I'm going to end this Zoom session or not, because it's very disturbing and I'm having a hard time keeping my train of thought. If it comes back up, I'm going to end it for this morning, and everybody just have to get a tape, because it's going in and out bad. The computer's really goofing up today as far as the router is concerned, and I don't know what makes it do that. But
you want me to reboot it?
I don't need to reboot it now.
Okay.
This is why I come out early in the morning.
Yeah. Okay.
Should have rebooted it before I started, but it wasn't messing up before
right.
I started service this morning. So those are things that I need help with. And I'm just going to shut it down so I can go ahead and teach. And I just have to get a recording.
All right.
John talks about, as far as Jesus is concerned, light refers to knowing who God is and what God does and having God in our life, the light of life.
Yes.
It's what we have in our lives. It's what we do. It's how we go. You can turn that light off, as a matter of fact, because I'm not on it. Jesus says to the people in John 8 chapter, when he's talking to them, as long as I'm in the world, he says to them, when he says this, he says, as long as I'm in the world, people will not walk in darkness. And he that followed me at that point should not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He's saying to the people that the reason why you are not forgiving and the reason why you are not forgiving, people don't understand. People don't forgive because they really don't understand that God forgives.
Yes.
It's something they know about, but they don't have it. This morning, we were having a discussion about certain people, about people being able to recognize how they can be so full of the Word of God now. They can be so holy and so. And one thing I have learned is not to mistake emotion for spiritualism.
Yes.
And they can just sound so emotional when they talk about the Lord. And, oh, yes. He just loves, and it brings tears to their eyes.
Yeah.
And then they'll go out and still feel themselves superior, still feel themselves this way or the other. That means that your love for Christ is, I'm not saying you're not saved, and I'm not saying you don't have Him, but you're not as spiritual as you think. What you really are is very emotional about it, but you have not grown in the Spirit.
Yes.
When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about how the Spirit sees us, and the Spirit sees us for what we really are. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about Jesus being a light, the light of Christ shows us what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to walk. When Jesus says we're the light of the world, he says this in Matthew 6th chapter, 5th chapter. After he talks about all these things we're supposed to be, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, this last part down here, when Jesus talks about this, he says this over and over again to the disciples. He says, if they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you. And even in John, it talks about the world doesn't know or understand you, because it didn't know or understand him, because they don't walk in the light that is in the light of the glorious gospel of God. They don't walk in the light for them. God has not been revealed to them.
Yes.
Light meaning revelation, right? Meaning the reality of God, right? Meaning so that you're able to see what's in the darkness, or see what is sin, or see what is wrong. When I was growing up, one night we were coming back from Durham or from Wadesboro or somewhere over down in North Carolina, and Daddy had this old car, and he might have had the 59 by then, but I don't think so. I think he had the 53 Chevy or whatever it was. And we had a flat tire. It must have taken us, an hour to change that tire. Because we were fumbling around in the dark, and we couldn't, and he couldn't see it. He was doing it like a blind man, had half a jack or whatever. But anyway, it took forever to change that tire. And sometime later, I was riding with Mom, and she had a flat tire. And, you know, people in those days drove tires with tubes. So when they ran over something, they'd go flying pretty quickly. And we had a flashlight, and I got out there. It took me all about 3 to 5 minutes to change the tire. And then I realized the only problem that we had changing that tire that night wasn't because my father did not change the tire. He didn't have any light. He didn't have any light. He was trying to change the tire in the dark. The reason why our lives don't change is because we are in the
darkness.
And the part of your life that doesn't change, the reason why it doesn't change is because you're in the dark.
Yes.
If you could see yourself in the light, if you will allow the light of the gospel to come in, then you're able to see what things are wrong, and you're able to see not only what's wrong, you also see how to fix it. The light shows you what needs to be done.
Yes.
So when Isaiah says that a great light was shining in darkness, it meant that a great light was shining into the darkness. It meant that Jesus would come and show people the way. It meant that when he came, the gospel, the poor would receive the gospel, because until now, when he said poor, it meant people who were poor materially, people poor in spirit, in any life, in any part of your life where you're lacking. when Christ comes, he preaches a gospel that will be to the poor, to those who are poor in spirit, to those who are in need, whatever that need may be, to,
yes,
to heal the broken heart. How do I get a broken heart healed? How do I, you know, to set at liberty them that are bruised, people who've been battered forever? It's one of the biggest segments of our society, one of the biggest things we do, the biggest excuses we like to explore for crimes, and psychiatrists and psychologists and all of them like to explore. If someone asks you if the signal's going on, just tell them, hey, we have to shut it down.
I did.
Okay, great. One of the biggest things that we do when people go on trial is we explain away why they're criminals because of their past.
Yeah.
That doesn't fix them, and it's not an excuse, because there is a light in the earth that comes, yes, with comes with God, the Holy Ghost, that comes with Jesus, that heals your broken heart so that you're not brokenhearted forever.
Yes, right. Right, yes.
And it doesn't mean, well, I've moved on, but when I think about this, it still breaks my heart. No,
yes,
it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's a death. It doesn't matter whether it's a lost loved one, or you broke, or you the one you love most left you, whatever it is, and you're, yes, abused or whatever. There is a light in the earth that heals all. That he's the,
yes,
God of all comfort.
Yes.
And there's a way about it. Well, how does he do that? I don't know. He does it. You know, there's no way. There's no way to say, well, Jesus does this, like psychiatrists and psychologists. They have all these little tricks and things that they do to get people to react certain ways or whatever, and they write them down and says, well, try this, and this test proves this, and this does this. Laws. Anything you write down that becomes systematic that you can do in the earth without God is a law.
Yes.
Anyway, it's a process.
Yes.
It's not of the spirit. If you can do it without God, it works mechanically, and it's of the earth, and it becomes a law. Even if it stems from God, when God stops being a part of it, it becomes of the earth. So when people are brokenhearted, or when they're sick, or when they're, you know, sickness has two things. It's one, it's physical. That's one. The other one is mental.
Mental, yes, yes.
You know, and it can cause excessive worry. Your sickness can cause you to give up on God.
Yes.
It can bring you to depression. It can, people kill themselves because they have an illness that they can't get. That you know, they feel like life is no more,
right,
has no more value.
Yes.
If they knew, if they had the light, they would know there is a greater life. If they knew of the light, they would know there's a greater life. So when Jesus comes, and he says, I'm the light of the world, at that particular time, it's not that people don't know about God or know about the Holy Ghost. They are like the people we were talking about this morning. They know a lot about God. They probably know more about God than we do. I have heard them explain. I've been in some of those churches where they explain how there are a lot of people who don't realize that the same mountain that Abraham offered up Isaac is the same mountain that becomes later on Calvary. I heard that one of their churches. We don't preach stuff like, we don't go into all the details of how Golgotha got its name and what the hill means and all this, but they know all that.
Right. Okay.
They're like Gamaliel and all the scholars. They have just a wealth of knowledge, and they can talk about, you know, the ark and where it is and how big. I mean, they're just into it. And yet, they're like the Jewish people that bring this woman who's in adultery. They bring this woman to Jesus to be stoned. They have no light. They don't have the light of the glorious gospel of God that forgives and sets at liberty them that are bruised. Don't you think by now, everybody who has light, even though it's a circumstance in the earth, and you say, well, God didn't create this. Yes, he did. This thing with George Floyd, you don't think God had a hand in that?
Mm-hmm.
God didn't kill him.
Yeah.
But God didn't cause him to be killed, and God didn't, whatever. But God will use that.
Yes.
Everybody who has a light should realize, you know what? People are being bruised.
Yes.
Everybody who has the light should realize people are being bruised.
Yes.
People are being hurt. Everybody who has the light should say, there are people who were held, being held captive against their will.
Yes.
There are people in the Old Testament, it says, there are them that are oppressed, those that are captive. And it's oppression. Captivity doesn't just mean in chains or in slavery. It means oppressed, held down, kept from being whatever. Well, if they have the, you've got all this light, you can pray all these long prayers, and they're just so beautiful. Dear Jesus, they're just so melodic, and they're so poetic when you hear them pray, and then you just say, oh, goodness, how they must love God. How can you say that you love, the Bible says in one place, how can you say that you love me whom you've never seen? Mm. And love not those that you have seen. And I have to look that up, and I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it says.
Yes.
And so they have this great wealth of, and they confuse knowledge and acknowledgement for really having a great move of the Spirit.
Yes.
Well, who won't join that? If all of it takes is a great emotional portion to be in and a great acknowledgement. Churches are full of them.
Yes.
Jerusalem was full of those kind of people.
Yes.
But Jesus only has a few people that will actually follow him and really walk in the light that is really God. How can you have all this light? It's like when I walk in Lowe's. It's when I walk in Lowe's. And I walk by the, I go over to the electrical department. There's row upon row of light bulbs.
Yes.
And none of them are turned on.
Oh, that's true.
They're light bulbs. Power.
Right.
But they're not turned on.
Right, yeah.
They're not giving any light.
Right.
They sit there in darkness. And they know how to light. Yes. And they have everything they need to light. But they're not a light. Why not? They're not plugged into there's no current running through them because they're not plugged in. There's no Holy Ghost in the people. They talk about the Holy Spirit, but not have him dwelling in them or dwelling among them. And the Spirit of God, I just sense the Spirit of God. How can you sense the Spirit of God and continue to support someone who is obviously not from God?
Yes.
How can you do that? You can never use the devil to do God's work. That will never work. You must never use anything of Satan in order to do the will of God. How can you do that? And proclaim that you have such a great light and you just love everybody and love everybody. And one of the things that God has shown right now to the earth and to whomever you are on what side you're on, to whoever will see it, he's showing how much of the love of God you don't have.
Yes.
He's showing to a lot of, and I'm waiting, I keep saying, I'm waiting to see which one of these evangelists will be the first one that will be pushed too far and will say, enough. I can't go along with this any longer. And I'm hoping that one of them will say, enough. I can't go along with this any further. And I'm not asking them. I'm not expecting them to say the LGBT is right or that the radical right is right or that anybody else is right. But I'm expecting them to get to a point where they say, can't go along with this person. I am waiting for that. I'm not waiting for them to say, I want to be part of the Black Lives Matter movement. Nobody asked you to be a part of that.
Right.
We're asking you to be a part of Jesus Lives
movement. Yes.
Be a part of God. No one's asking you to take sides in any of this. But hear the right, David wrote. Hear the right.
Yes.
Just be on the side of righteousness.
Yes.
Who will be on the side of righteousness? Who will forsake everything to be on the side of righteousness? Who's going to get to the point where you say, well, who are you going to vote for? Well, you're going to vote for whoever, whatever. I'm going to vote for the person that will at least consider the people.
People, yes.
I can't go for someone who is just obviously.
Yes.
You know, you got to do. But so when we talk about having this great light among us, and Jesus talks about it, he says, going back to, Matthew chapter 5, ye are the light of the world. Look at John chapter 3, keep Matthew 5, because I keep going back there. John chapter 5, John chapter 3. I'm sorry, John chapter 1. About verse 7. Oh, we'll start at 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Of the light. This is the light.
Yes.
That Isaiah, I think I read earlier, gave to you earlier.
Yes. Isaiah 9, 2 and 7.
Yeah, this is the light that Isaiah says is going to come into the earth, and there's going to be a great light. A great light. A light that outshines everything else. This is the light that Paul sees on the Damascus Road. Although he doesn't just see a light, he sees Jesus, but Jesus' brightness and the light that he brings is greater than the noonday sun. He doesn't see Jesus in the midnight hour in a great light when his eyes are used to the darkness, so the light seems blinding. It's blinding in the noonday sun. It's a great light that outshines the sun. Logan Ritchie used to sing the song, I Got a Light in Glory Land, I think it is, that outshines the sun. In Revelation it says we'll have no need of a sun when God comes, when the city of New Jerusalem comes, there'll be no need of sunlight there because the light of the glory of God will be there.
Yes, the light of the sun.
When Jesus comes, there's a great light, and it's not just the physical light that we see, but it reveals all things and reveals the darkness and when I get up on Sunday morning and I get ready to come to the church, and I'm matching my suits up, my eyes are older now. The only way I can match my shirts to my suits and walk outside and not realize they don't match is I have to see them in natural light. And so sometimes, most of the times, if I open the blinds in my bedroom, I can see enough light, or if I light in our bathroom. Some days when my eyes are not seeing that well because they're tired or whatever, I actually walk out on the front. Actually go outside with my suit and my shirt to see what it's going to look like in natural light. And then I can see what colors really match. I have been in stores where I have asked the people, I need to walk to the door because your lights aren't showing me what I'm really looking at. Even though there's some light to really see the purity of what I'm looking at, I need a good light. Jesus is a great light. We're supposed to be, and if we will allow him, let me start with me today. If I will allow him, there's so much that the light of God can reveal to me. If I will allow him, there's so much the light of God will reveal to me. If I will allow him to do it. And then, as we see Moses after he would be with, when he was with God, every time he was with God, we sometimes think that the only time Moses' face shone was when he came down from the mountain, but it seems, as I read it more, that every time he talked to God, his face would shine. He would receive so much of the light of God was such that, I don't know how many people in here realize it, you can actually, there are fluorescent colors and paints and things, especially in kids' toys, that when they shine light on them, and then when they go into the dark, they still glow. But how many people here know that actually you can do that just with a white material? To some degree, you can do it for paper. It fades quickly, but if you put bright enough light on a white material or on paper or whatever, and quickly put it in the dark, it will glow for a small amount of time. It will reflect the light, and when Moses would leave God physically, they would see they would see the light from God. We are supposed to reflect that light, not just the knowledge. You're talking about God when we're out witnessing, and when we're in our daily lives, we're talking about God, but we aren't casting any light. And here's the point about us. Either we have light or we don't. And the amount of light you have, there's no switch on you so you can turn on the light. You either have light or you don't. And you don't have any more light shining outward than you have shining inward.
Yes.
You don't have any more, you're not reflecting any more light than you yourself have. Because the light shines from within. Mm-hmm. And you're illuminated from within, from the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost comes in, He brings the light of life. When He dwells with us, we receive the light of life, and you don't have any more light shining out than you have from within. You might be a great salesperson, which I am not. I'm not a great salesperson. I wasn't one when I was in a business that needed sales, and I'm obviously not a great salesperson when it comes to getting people in the house of God. What I have to have is I have to have a light.
Yes.
Salespeople can talk. The key to sales is convincing you that you need something.
It's
sales is all about creating a need. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be a 1995 item from TV all the way to electing a president. They are creating a need. Marketing is all about creating a need. You need my candidate. You need what my candidate is offering, and so forth and so on. We are supposed to be salespeople. We tell people you need God and you need Jesus. But the point of it is, if you can convince people that they need God without the Spirit, you won't have people that believe in God. You will have people that are here for another reason, but they still will not have life.
Right.
So there must be a transfer of this light. There must be a transfer. People must receive the light of the glory. And you say, well, the light is the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost. It is the gospel. It is God the Father. It is all that is contained in the light that is God. It is the knowledge of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the knowledge of heaven and eternal life. All of this is in this light. Just like in natural light, there is a spectrum of colors. And the light that is in God, there is much that comes with it. Our salvation is a portion of this light. Without the light of the gospel, you can have all the knowledge you want. You can have all the emotion you want, and you will not have salvation.
Right, yes.
You can know about it. You can talk about it. You can converse about it. You can cry about it. You can sing and wave your hands and just be. And that's what I get sometimes when I see people who are very emotional. And I look at people sometimes when I go to churches, especially in other countries and places, and I look at people in our church, and I see how people are trying to push out emotionally.
Yeah.
This is because you don't have any emotion. That's not true. It's more akin to I have a lot of emotion, but I don't have any false emotion.
Yeah.
That I do not have.
Right.
It's either there or it's not.
Right.
I cry when I feel it, when things touch me so that I cry.
Yes.
I laugh when things touch me. I don't laugh on cue. I try and maintain my anger. The people who are able to cause you to display anger, most of the people who are closest to you. And in church, it's the same thing. When I sense the Spirit and I go into worship, and when I lift my hands, I don't like to be told to lift my hands, and there's a difference.
Yes.
When I am lifting my hands and I'm in the Spirit, they don't get tired.
Right, yes.
When I am mechanically trying to worship, my arms get tired.
Yes.
And my hands drop.
Yes.
And you sense there's a wearing, and I'm ready to sit down.
Yes.
And say, well, just because you can't sit still, okay, I'll grant you. There may be a time when the Spirit is moving. I'm just not in touch.
Right.
But this is the symptom. And maybe everybody else is in the Spirit. But the symptoms are, when I'm in the Spirit, I don't get tired.
Right.
And my arms don't get tired.
Right.
And I can worship and sing till my voice gets hoarse. But when I am just trying to go through the motions, my legs get tired, I'm ready to sit down, my arms get tired, I don't feel like singing anymore, and so forth and so on.
Yes.
What we ought to be able to do, and we were all honest, we should do exactly what we are in the Spirit.
Yes.
And maybe we wouldn't drag on services for hours and hours. Yeah. And let the people who want to dance all night dance while we sit here and read a magazine or something, or study our Bible. Because once we lose the contact of the Spirit, you're just in the flesh.
That's
anyway.
Right.
Yes.
You're just in the flesh. Anyway. That's the reason why there's no need of keep yelling at people, say amen, say amen, say amen, say amen. They're not saying amen.
Amen.
What's your point?
Oh, that's right.
Say amen. Say, I don't have a problem saying to the people, say glory to God. And you're trying to encourage them to worship and do that. But that only goes so far.
Yes, that's right.
I don't even have a problem with telling somebody you love the Lord. I don't like that too. Mm. But that only goes
so far, yes.
One time there was this woman, I won't call her name, but she's not one division, so don't think that. One time she was preaching. My God, I have never heard anyone say, turn to your neighbor. I mean, it was beyond being tiresome. It became excessive.
Yes, it became
an irritant to everybody in there.
There's
another little sister who's learning how to preach now. I got to, somehow or another, I'm going to talk to her pastor. Because she's young, and we forgive her. But she got to come out of that, you know, it's okay to say, turn to your neighbor once or twice every now and then.
Yeah.
But your whole sermon can't be everything you say turn to your neighbor.
Yes.
You'd be better off just asking the people, say the Lord is good.
Yes.
Tell somebody this, you know, but you can't do all day long. This gets to be old after a while. Say amen gets to be old to me too after a while.
Yes.
You act like you're going to make me. Yeah, you need to say amen. Well, you need to preach something that I can say amen to.
Yes. Right.
And then my amen would be automatic.
Yes, yes.
It's like when Paul talks about the gift of prophecy, and he says, how can there be understanding? Or how can I say amen if you're speaking in tongues all night and I don't know what you're talking about?
Yeah, right.
Well, I understand his point on that, but the point is the same. How can I say amen when you're not saying anything that's stirring my spirit?
Right, that's right.
You're just a lot of chatter. So I need light. On a day that I feel like, on a day that I'm feeling down or I'm feeling like I'm kind of out of sorts, I'm remiss of light.
Yes.
What I'm missing is light. What I don't have is light.
Yeah.
I need more light. I need the Spirit to come in. Days that I'm being bothered or when I'm too grumpy, I need the light to show me what I'm grumpy about. Doesn't have to be the person in front of me. I need to light just to know that I am grumpy. When I get to a point where I can't see how grumpy I am and how I'm inciting things and doing things, I need light.
Yes.
Because as long as you're in darkness, you will put it someplace else.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
But you want light.
Yes.
Because this is where the liberty comes in, where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Yes.
This is where this liberty comes in. This all comes together. This great light that shines into the darkness, shines into the darkness of our lives, and it continues. And we're supposed to be, we are, Jesus says when he finishes preaching, the reason why we need these people that he preaches to, the reason why he preaches to the meek and encourages them, they're supposed to show other meek people. Go back to Matthew, the third chapter. And he talks about this. People who are poor in spirit, when he blesses them, and when they come out, they're the sight of the salt of the earth. They're supposed to be a light to other people who are poor in spirit and say, I've got light.
Yes.
They're supposed to bless other people. They're other people. They're supposed to be able to identify and tell someone who's poor in spirit. He says, the kingdom of heaven is for you. You're poor in spirit, but you've been heaven is here.
Yes.
You're not up and about.
Right.
But we have eternal life.
Life, yes.
Lift up your hands.
Yes.
Lift up your heads, all ye gates. Be ye lifted up. Lift up the feeble knees that hang down, arms that hang down, as the scripture says. Because we have heaven. We have eternal life.
Yes.
We're supposed to say to those that mourn, you know, you'll be comforted. The Lord is going to come in. Don't we send cards to people who mourn and say, you'll be all right?
Right, yes.
This is what we're supposed to do. Right now, in this country, we're supposed to say to all the people who are going through for whatever, you're trying to send somebody in to shoot the people, you're supposed to be the kind of ladies to say to them, calm down.
Calm, yes.
What can we do? It'll be all right.
Yes.
Can we fix this? Is there something we can do? And then, if you are implacable and insistent, then we have to do something else. But what we're supposed to attempt to set these things. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We're supposed to let people know, hey, you know, and not Jehovah's Witnesses. They're just going to be here and be meek. Ain't nothing meek about them. You're not too meek. You're knocking on everybody's door, waking them up every Saturday morning. I guess you're just about, you know, I think they just about got a lot of that in Florida, though. They're standing around and people coming to the door with guns and stuff. Now it's not the time to be a Jehovah's Witness as far as I'm concerned. Not knocking on doors. You have to kind of do like the Seventh-day Adventist people. The Seventh-day Adventist people kind of changed their, they still have services on Saturday because they believe that's the Sabbath. But they've toned down this following the law thing now. Now what they basically get into, if you see them preach and teach on television, is dietary laws.
Yeah.
And healthy living.
Yes.
And doing that, they get into that. Because people, you have the too many people who talk about trying to obey the law and the spirit at the same time. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and all these door knocker people, if they haven't toned down their door knocking, they need to.
Yeah.
This is not a good time to be knocking on people's doors. Not around here. I'm not knocking on people's doors.
No.
Black or white.
No.
Too many people with too many guns.
You're right.
Too many dogs. Too many everything.
Yep.
Not going to do it. There was a different way of doing things. And I said, well, if you got God, you ain't scared of nothing. That's not true.
That's not
now
true.
You're telling me I need to jump off the pinnacle of the temple again.
Yeah, yes.
And that I'm not going
That's
to
right.
do. Before I have to be like Peter. Even in those days, and maybe this is something that I need to see too. When we talk about that. Peter makes a bold statement to God in Acts, and he says to him, he says, okay, the man by the gate beautiful was healed, and we were beaten for that. He says, but if you want us to keep doing what we're doing, you have to keep doing some miracles and some signs and wonders.
Yeah.
Give us the boldness we need to keep doing this, because they're mistreating us and they're beating us. And if you expect us to keep going through this persecution, and now, Lord, give us boldness by stretching forth thy hand to heal us with miracles, signs, and wonders. He's saying, if we don't keep seeing signs and wonders, we'll start to be afraid.
Yes, yeah.
We will do what we do because we can see these great wonders and these great signs. Remember I told you in the Bible before, you don't have any people who really move in a great means in the Bible. And if you don't see great signs and wonders and miracles going before them. Peter says, give us boldness by doing great miracles and signs and wonders. And so, if I see a burning bush out in front of somebody's house, I think I'd have enough boldness to go up in there. In fact, I know I would. Because I would know that God is with me. So, well, you know that God's with you anyway. You can tell that to anybody. But even when Jesus is here, he's God's only beloved Son. And God speaks from heaven and says, you are my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I well please. The mission that God sends you on, he knows our frame and he knows our weakness. And when God sends you on great missions, he always comes in power because you don't ever owe God.
Yes.
He always, if he's going to send you, it's like I'm going to send you on a trip and I'm not going to give you enough money to go and come.
That's right.
I'm going to give you enough money. If I'm sending you, I'm going to give you enough money to go, to eat, to live, to sleep, and to get back.
Yes, yeah.
Now, if you go gamble it all away like a friend I used to a long time ago, that's on you. But I've given it to you.
Yeah.
And when God sends people out to do a great work, he comes in power. We need the Lord to come in power to us so that we're able to go out. And then, when you walk up to the door, the Lord is with you.
Yes, yes.
God is with you. You will be all right because God is with you.
With you. Yes.
You get thrown in prison, in Peter's case, God is with him.
Yes, yes.
He's not worried about it. He's going to be all right. So when we look at this list, blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And see, what are you going to do with seven? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Don't you know all of us are saved because we have obtained mercy.
Yes.
And yet you want to turn around and take a side while you're shooting people and killing people and raising up arms against people and you're putting down all rebellion and for Jesus to do. I believe this. I really believe this. I really believe, and I was saying it, I say it all the time, and somebody has to show me differently, maybe I need to study more. I am really not overly concerned about the seven vials that are poured out in Revelation. It's sufficient for me to know it and fear it and plan not to be here during it.
That's right.
I am not worried about the clay feet that Daniel saw, the kingdom that's going to break apart in the last days and rise up. Yes, I know. I am fully aware of the times.
Yes.
So if you're going to spend money and be on the airwaves, why spend it? Why use your church as a platform for politicians when you're supposed to be talking about God? And you've allowed, and the worst part about this is you've allowed the deceiver to cause you to think that preaching and teaching that is preparing people for God.
It would be
if you're just telling them you need to get in Jesus and you need to be ready because Jesus is coming. But you're not telling them that they need to be ready for Jesus. You're telling them they need to go vote for this person in November.
Right, yes.
That's a problem.
Yes, that's a problem.
At least I see it as one, and then God shows me I'm wrong about it, and we'll go with it. But this is not what the light is for.
No.
You have reduced the gospel down to the same thing that the Pharisees were doing when Jesus came. Jesus comes to set the people free and give them everlasting life. And the Pharisees are saying when Jesus comes, he's going to set them free from the Romans.
Yeah.
Their concern was not with people being saved and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Their concern was with the Romans.
Yes.
We got to get rid of these Romans.
Yes.
The Romans are you know, we need to deal with these Romans. They crucified the man because he was... They said, we're going to lose our temple and our nation.
Yep.
And they sided with the Romans.
Yes.
Because he didn't come to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we read, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But what happens to the people who are not merciful?
Yes.
Well,
blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What happens to the people who are not pure in God? Well, what heart? Well, maybe a lot of them are pure in heart. It's the leader that will have the answer.
Yeah.
Woe unto the shepherd to lead my people astray. Not
Woe
unto all the sheep. Woe unto all the sheep. Woe unto the shepherd.
It's
the leader who has the answer.
Yes.
When you're leading these people down these pernicious ways, these dangerous ways. Blessed are the peacemakers, my favorite one. For they shall be called the children of God, peacemakers.
Yes.
How can you have something as divisive as this and call them peacemakers? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of God. And we keep going until we get down to the bottom where he talks about us being the salt of the earth.
Yes.
The people who are in this list.
Yes.
People who are in this list. They're the salt of the earth. They're what keeps the earth from ruin.
Yeah.
Salt is what keeps meat from ruin. It's a preservative.
Yes.
It's what keeps people from going bad. It keeps things from going bad. You put salt in them.
Yes.
And the salt saves them.
Yes.
But after the salt is just thrown out, you know, you can put salt on the ground and the snow comes and it melts the ice, but then after a while it stops being effective. It waters down.
Yes.
And if it snows over it again and it doesn't work. And if it's trampled underfoot, in other words, you're supposed to be the salt of the earth, but you have lost your savor. Churches are supposed to be the salt of the earth. People are supposed to be the salt of the earth. Salt doesn't care what you put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be such that we don't care what you put us on. We're the Savior. We're there. We have that Savior. And he says in this, as he gets down, ye are the light of the world. A city that sitteth upon a hill cannot be hid. We're supposed to be, to be honest, right now, save people.
Yeah.
I only supposed to have one platform.
Jesus.
Obey God.
Yes.
Do the will of God.
Do the will of God.
If on this side you're wrong, we're supposed to say, that's wrong.
Oh, yes.
And if on this side, they're wrong, we're supposed to say, that portion is wrong.
Yes.
Say, well, we're keeping our liberty. Well, I can't go along with that because God is no respecter of persons. So that part about you is wrong. Well, get the gay rights people need their rights. No, can't go along with that either because there's no respect of persons in God as far as persons are concerned. But your being gay is not you being a person. That's a preference.
Yes.
And there are many preferences that God does not
go along with. That's right.
It's called, if you say, I was born this way. No. If you're going to say you were born that way, then murderers can say, I've always wanted to kill.
Yes.
And people who like the pedophiles can say, hey, this is what I
like.
I was born that way.
Yes.
And rapists can say, this is what I like.
Yes.
I was born this way.
Yeah,
nobody
made
me. I was born this way.
That's right.
Right.
It's just a behavior. And every one of us can excuse ourselves as saying, hey, I was born this way. A child can be in a house where neither of the parents steal, and the child can become a thief. And the child, and you can't go back and say, well, your parents made you a thief. No. Something they didn't turn off. It's something they didn't correct.
Yes.
Something they didn't do. Now, I understand the homosexual spirit is a strong one.
Yes, it is.
But it's no stronger than the pedophile spirit. It's just that we don't deal with that because we just put those people in jail.
Yes.
It is no stronger than most perverted spirits. We don't deal with them. We just put them in jail. This one, we try and deal with. And so we want to make it be something that they deserve equal rights. And I don't deny the people an opportunity to have a job or a house or anything else. But I'm saying your lifestyle is not one conducive to God. But I'm thinking about it. Because
yes.
If you're shacking up over here, you're wrong.
Wrong too, yes. Yeah.
And then you have, you want to know how hypocritical you want to really want to see something that's really hypocritical about the swaggerts and all these churches today? I'll tell you. They have this strong law in them about people remarrying. Matter of fact, you can't be a minister in their churches if you've ever been married before and divorced or whatever. The Bible, even in our church, and this is light because this is probably all we'll do today since I can't do the rest of Zoom. So I'll make this one long and I'll just read this and out. The Bible, even in our church, in the Church of Living God International, and in our blue book, our little law book, for me, we don't even have the right mind, and I don't mind who says it. The Bible says that Jesus says Moses gave a law of divorcement for the hardness of men's hearts.
Yes.
And then he goes on to say, and you can read it, he goes on to say, but they can't remarry except in a case of fornication.
Yes.
We turn around and say whether or not a divorce was scriptural or not. And we say, and so what we've made it, what we've done, this is the problem with laws. We're saying that a divorce is not scriptural unless it's for fornication. That is not what the Bible says.
No.
The Bible says you can have a divorce because you can't get along.
Yeah.
Because it says for the hardness of men's hearts.
Yeah.
That means you can't get along. So if we divorce for irreconcilable differences, as far as the Bible is concerned, that's allowed. What's not allowed is for you to be remarried.
Yes.
So we say to somebody, you don't have a scriptural divorce. You do have a scriptural divorce.
Yeah.
Yes, it doesn't have to be beating you, and it ain't got to desert you, and it ain't got to do all that. For the hardness of men's hearts. You want to read it? What's happening to it? And then I'm gonna get, because this is all about being in the light. every time I look up a word and I take reference that I really need an answer to, it just gives me a whole bunch of scriptures with that word in it. And things that I have that I don't really need, you look them up and everything, and they have to, just all kinds of stuff written on that. Matthew 19. I'm going to spend a lot of time on this. And he starts in verse 19:3. And the Pharisees came unto him, tempting him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? For every cause. Because they were just getting rid of him. And he answered and said unto them, and I think what they wanted him to do was to specify what causes you could use, because if you read the reference, it says there's a controversy, they were not permitted to divorce, but on many frivolous grounds, such as careless seasoning of food, causing the husband to eat the food, which he had not been tithed, so forth and so on, just silly stuff. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said to them, have ye not read that he which made them in the beginning, made them male and female, and for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall flee to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh, which is a big issue that a lot of people understand. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And they say to him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? And he says, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. In other words, he says, Moses, because you couldn't get along, and all these things you say up here, no matter how frivolous they are, you just made up reasons why you can't get along. He says, because nobody can compromise. You're supposed to be one. You're supposed to be one flesh. This is what is so dangerous when two people will not listen to each other and will not try and understand what the other one's saying. He says, because you are determined, you are not going to try and compromise and get along. You're looking for the way of war. He says, the hardness of your heart. He says, Moses was gave a law enforcement. Says, well, if you just can't get along, not no way, not no how, don't kill one another. Just go your separate ways.
Yes.
Because you're just not going to make it. Just go your separate ways. He says, but from the beginning it was not so. And what it means is, but that's not the way it was
supposed to be. Right. Yes.
Not meaning that there didn't used to be a divorce until Moses. No, he's saying from the beginning, that's not the way it was supposed to be. You were supposed to be one flesh. Mm-hmm. And that meant you were supposed to have the same mind, same motive, same goals. And you were supposed to be the sort of people that would have the kind of heart that could talk to. This is why when you get to a shouting match, somebody just needs to shut up.
Yeah.
Because it's not working. And if you find out the only way you can live is under shouting mass, then you probably need to go your separate ways.
Yeah.
But from the beginning, he says, this is not the way it's supposed to be. He says, but, when he goes on, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. In other words, he says to them, unless you marry a woman, unless you leave your wife because she's running around on you, you're not supposed to marry anybody else. And then in the second part, because they put this on the woman, and whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. In other words, if you marry a woman who was put away because she was a fornicator, cause the marriage to go awry, then she's not supposed to be married anymore. You're the cause for the marriage to break up. You're not supposed to be married anymore. But if you're the man and she ran around or whatever, then you get married again.
Yeah.
Or, since I know it was written in the male sense, but in the Bible, all things are equal, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
He runs around on you, you get married. He's running around. He's not supposed to get married again. Here's the thing on that, though. He's a fornicator and breaks up the marriage. Not supposed to be married again. Not. But here's the thing about Jesus. This is a law.
Yeah.
This is the law that Moses gave. Jesus came, the Lord has done away with.
Yes.
And God forgives.
Yes.
So when I was a sinner, she was a sinner, he was a sinner, I'm the sinner, whoever's a sinner, you're running around doing all these things. When the Lord saves you, you're a new creature.
All right. Yeah.
Your life begins anew. Now you're not supposed to ever do this again.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
But you are a new creature. So then when we say it's not a scriptural divorce, it's not the issue of saying it's not a scriptural divorce. It's the same thing as saying being pregnant is a sin. Being pregnant is not a sin.
Yeah.
Having a sexual relationship and not being married is the sin.
Yes. Yeah.
But the baby that comes of it is not a sin. Yeah.
No.
So then, if we say that being pregnant is a sin, you could turn around and say, then I should get an abortion.
Yeah.
Because I need to stop the sin.
Right, yes. Yeah, and that's not right.
I need to do something about the sin.
Mm.
Then when you, and then it just goes on and on. Yeah, let me get back to Matthew 5th chapter. Now, the reason why I read that, why are we that? Because we are the light of the earth. We are the light of the world. We're supposed to. What is the light of the earth supposed to do? You're supposed to see Christ.
Yes.
You're not just supposed to see my knowledge of Christ. You're supposed to see Christ. I mean, the two people were walking down the street, down their neighborhood, becoming blacker and blacker. And I'm hoping that's not a bad thing. Not that I don't love black people, but they sooner or later you get somebody, you get enough of them, they change, you know,
change your neighborhood,
in that regard. They were walking on the street, walking their dog. I said, good morning. They spoke well enough. I said, how are you? And they said, fine. How are you? I said, well, thank you. I got a car man to me, and we came on, and I thought to myself the whole time here, I said, now what could I have said today that would have got them to come to the house of God? I said, I could have said to them, nice day to go to church today. And the Spirit said, they don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I could have said, come go to church with me today. The Spirit said, they don't want to hear that. And finally, I said, then what should I have said? And the Spirit said, just wait.
Yeah.
I said, just wait. He told me the other day when somebody was passing, he said, just wait. They will come to you. They'll have a need.
Yeah.
Just got your shingle hanging out. So we will see.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be, we're the light of the world. The light of the glorious gospel, the light of God is supposed to show in us.
Yes.
People are supposed to see the light in us. Now, you know what I could have done this morning? I could have gone to the back. Now I think about it. I could have gone in the back where the closest to the where the router is. Matter of fact, what I probably need to do from here on out, if it's only us, I probably need to do it in the back.
Okay.
And be done with it. Okay. 1 John, last scripture of this morning. evil culture, culture based on this, and we don't want to change that. That rag out there with those stars and stripes on it has become an idol.
Yes.
That has become an idol. Anytime you're angry and ready to fight about just because I don't pledge allegiance, because I don't stand up for that, it has become an idol. It is not God after all.
Right.
There is, we don't even have a law. You have to stand for it.
That's right.
And I would be opposed to any law that says that. Although if the right people get there, they're trying to make one.
Yes.
Then it becomes a God.
Yes.
And I don't think God's going to stand for that. I'm not worried about people, but at some point or another, you're going to push this to a point where God is going to say enough. In 1 John, it says to us, in 1 John, this then is the message which we know, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with God and do things that are not like God, then we're not walking with God.
Yes.
If we say that we have fellowship with God and we do things that are not like God, then we're not walking with God.
We lie
and do not the truth. If we're saying we're walking with God and we're still hanging up the segregation of sons, we have this mind that we have, and we'll leave the social dynamics of the races, and we'll just go to one-on-one. We say we have fellowship with God, but we are not people who are reasonable. We're not walking with God.
Mm-hmm.
If we say that we have fellowship, in that instance, our fellowship is not with God.
Yes.
When we do things that are contrary to God, in that instance, our fellowship in that is, and it's maybe what we need to see ourselves in is in slow motion, frame by frame, and we need to look at ourselves and say to ourselves, yes, in our life we're walking with God, but are there bits and parts of the day where we step outside the fellowship, where we lose the fellowship?
Yeah.
Like this computer this morning, you just keep losing the signal.
Yes.
You just keep losing the signal. You can't keep the signal. Is there a possibility that we do that? And I'm really wishing that I had thought this morning of moving in the back. And this is where I'm locked in. I'm so used to doing this right here all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I could have just as easily gone in the back and sit on the table and the same thing, and I'd have been close enough and my signal would have been good. We're like that in God. We're so used to doing what we do and say what we say.
Yeah.
We could just as easily move ourselves to change our mind, do something different. We wouldn't lose a thing.
Right, yeah.
I'm so tired of people standing their ground. That will never be God.
No.
I'm going to stand my ground. They ain't going to walk over me. That will never be God. Because all of us have a cross.
Yes.
What if Jesus had said, now wait a minute now, enough is enough. I've done enough miracles for you now, I'm the Son of God.
Yeah.
I've done enough. And then you beat me all night, enough. And now you're going to sit down at the ground and mock me about whether I'm God's son or not? Whoa, time out. I had enough now. Mm-hmm. You ain't going to walk all over me.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Is that not us?
Yes.
It's absolutely us.
Mm-hmm.
All day long and into next week. Is that not us?
Yeah.
That's true.
And yet we're supposed to reflect the light that is Christ. And he says, well, this is what I need to do in order for the people to know that I'm God's son. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
This is what I came to do. When I'm witnessing to people, I'm coming to be. We're ambassadors for Christ. We pray you in Christ to be ye reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are here asking you in the place of Christ
to be reconciled to God. We're trying to get you to be reconciled to God. But I've dimmed my light because you caught me in darkness.
Yeah.
So my light is dim. Mm,
yeah.
You're saying my light is no brighter than yours because you saw me in darkness and you're in darkness.
Yeah.
He says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all righteousness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, now the other half, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I could say about this, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, means that once the Lord cleanses me, I'm righteous forever.
No.
But that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I have to keep coming back.
Yeah, they're walking.
So he's saying to us, but if we confess our sins, but if we walk in the light, he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood is always there to keep us in the light.
Yes.
And if we find that we're not in the light, if we're not in the light, that means we're doing something that is sinful.
Yeah.
Contrary to God, we're out of the light. If we will keep our fellowship with God, then Jesus will cleanse us. How am I restored to this fellowship? How do I get back into life? Repent.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, now that was wrong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just no ifs, ands, buts, in-betweens, whatevers. Just flat out right, that was wrong.
Yes.
And why am I concerned about being wrong? Well, one, I have the wrong mind. I don't want to say I was wrong because I don't want to say somebody else was right. Really, the person I need to be concerned about is God and my fellowship with him and my life with him. I need to come to a point where I grow in God so much that my fellowship with God is all important. It is preeminent. If I do that, then when the world sees me, I'm the sort of person that my fellowship is with God. They always see a light.
Mm-hmm.
They always see a light. They're looking to see what I'm going to do when this happens and that happens. And I need to always be a light. That's why it is so important that if we're going to fight, we ought not do it in front of anybody.
Yeah.
We ought not do it in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're supposed to always be a light.
Yes.
Saints of God, if you're going to quarrel, go quarrel quietly someplace. Just break out in front of everybody. Because people remember that.
Yes.
When you're trying to get them to now see your light.
Yes.
And that darkness is like a stain.
Yep.
It stays there.
Yes.
It stays there. Our light, that becomes a barrel.
Yes.
That our light is hidden under.
Yes.
We have a light, but they can't see our light because it's hidden in that barrel of how we broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did and how we did it.
Yes.
But I was right, though. No, you wasn't right about how that went.
Right. Yes.
That was not in the light. Besides all that, how much right do I have if it's not in the light? None. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can do what? Stay in the light.
Stay in the light, yes.
If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. How do we make him a liar if we say we have not sinned? If we turn around and say, I'm always right.
No.
I'm never wrong. I'm always right. To be honest, not always right.
Yes.
You can't go to the other side either way. Okay, that's always wrong. No, you're trying to prolong things.
Yes.
And you're still not looking for the light. Still not looking to be in the light. And the Holy Ghost is saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, you're getting dark, you're getting dark, you're getting dark. So if we say we've never done that, we're liars.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we have a lot of Holy Ghost folk who like to pretend they've never been. I know I can be wrong sometimes. You wouldn't know it the way you preach and to hear you talk about it. Mm-hmm. You never bring it up. You don't ever want to put yourself out front. Y'all. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say, these things I write to you that you sin. I'm writing this to keep you out of sin. I'm not writing these. I'm not telling you. And one time we were taught this, and I really, the Bible says, sin not. That is not what he's saying. Although the Bible does say, sin not. That's not what John's saying here.
Yes.
He says, I'm writing this so that you can keep yourself from being a sinner.
Yes.
I'm writing this so you can stay out of sin. If you get in sin, this is how you get back out. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And he's a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. In other words, he's there, available for anyone who will ask him to forgive him. He will do it. He will bring you, he'll save the whole world to be saved. He is the light of the world, as he said. He is the light of the world. Again, spake Jesus unto them, I am the light of the world. If any man come after me, he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's the light of the world. And we are supposed to be a reflection of that light. We are right now caught between a rock and a hard place. We just have to follow the Spirit. Now, we can't follow the law. We have to follow the Spirit. What is the greatest? What is the most egregious thing to the Spirit? The most egregious thing to the Spirit is that men would hate one another. Above all the homosexuality and all these things, above all the idolatry towards the flag and everything else, above on this side, above all the things that we're looking at. What is the most egregious thing to God? Where is the murder that brothers, that men and women in the earth would not love one another?
Yes.
They would hate one another.
Yes.
Where must we look? We must look to where peace and harmony comes.
Yes.
So I cannot go with the people who are strictly against being peaceful. You're saying, well, we'll just never be at peace then. Y'all just do whatever you do, but we ain't going to do that. That I cannot do. I have to seek peace and ensue it. And the Holy Ghost is righteousness, peace, and joy. I've got to go in the direction where the righteousness and the peace and the joy can be found. I cannot go in the direction that is continually strife and wrath and animosity and hatred and spite. I can't deal with the haters.
Yes.
That we cannot do. What?
No, it's saying in 11:20, that said, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and not knoweth not whether he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes.
Was this John?
Yes.
First John 2:11. That's 1 John 2:11.
Yes.
1 John 2:11. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. Well, I have pretended. Yeah, okay.
That's good.
And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and true light now shineth. He that saith he is in light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even unto now. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion stumbling in him. In other words, when it says one occasion of stumbling in him, you're not going to change your mind about that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to fall. You're going to keep on, you know. And he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes, can't see. I write unto you, little children, because you're sin. Okay, I can stop right there.
Yep.
good scripture to end on. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you for how you lead us and guide us. And Lord, forgive us for this morning and say to the Lord, rebuke you. And Lord, watch over us and keep us, heal the sick.
Yes, Lord,
all those, way. Lord, who are being held captive against their will. Lord, set the captives free. Lord, break every yoke and bear every fetter. Lord, keep us and see us, keep us in the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us your, Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, give us more of your spirit. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I would ask you to, Donna, probably everybody, all the Zoom.